is it rape in any degree? Some lower degrees of rape are almost not sexual abuse, are they? How far down does that go?
Well, I guess my concern is the issues of pornography here that are not, that are really not active against person crimes. But that's, you know, do you register for those?
Madam Chair, if I may just comment.
Yes.
That supports the industry. Okay. And the industry uses the child.
Okay, then let's move to the juvenile issue. If you have...
Oh, okay.
My concern on Section 5 is if we have a bill that was going to recommend 5-year extension of, what do we call it? Help me, Ingrid. It's late.
Informal disposition.
Informal disposition. We're not going to move that bill because we had people objecting to it. We now have a situation where, depending on the county, if a juvenile did the same crime and they were actually formally adjudicated in Multnomah County and they were not adjudicated in Clackamas County, they did the same crime, there would be no way for the court to request them. Would be unlikely because there wasn't a formal adjudication in Clackamas County. So the same kid would be asked to register in Multnomah County because they were an adjudicated case, and in Clackamas County they wouldn't have the registry. And frankly, I have a concern about that. I think it's not good policy, and I'd almost like to delete that section for now and come back to it and ask them to register when we get this whole question during the interim sorted out about, do we adjudicate them all? Do we, at what stage do we or do we not expunge? Who's a victim, who's whatever, and then deal with the registration? Then I'm not opposed to registration, having juveniles register, I think, until we sort out. But I'd like some comments from whoever wants to come up and talk about that.
Madam Chair, Mary Hoyt may want to comment on part of that. I would say that I certainly would not want to lose the registration for adults.
Right. Oh, I'm not talking about that.
And I think that it's important if we're going to require a person in one county to register for a crime, that a person who commits the same crime in another county should also be required to register. That should be held, those people should be held accountable equally across
right.
the state.
I'm concerned that we're not, that we're not really able to effectuate that with the juveniles right at this particular time. And
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Mary Hoyt, and I chaired the task force. I think when we looked at this whole issue, we started looking at some of the histories of these sex offenders, and they started, most of them, in teen years, at least teen years, and we were worried about developing some kind of control for them. And so I think that's why we came up with a registration at the discretion of the court and then gave some guidelines. But I think your point about one county being in one place and another, totally different in terms of a value system. And I think we get down to a value system as well as kind of a theoretical framework about treating these kids. And I don't know that there's agreement there yet.
Well, I think we've got to find agreement. If we had a little mm-hmm. more time, we need to deal with the question of mandatory adjudication.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to then talk about this registration and the whole question of at what point, you know, how long does that in every case can they request having it on or off the record, or how long does it report? So I guess that's where I personally am. I hate to give up this piece because I think there are some very offensive and dangerous juveniles out there.
Madam Chair, I think that's what we heard as a task force, how many of these young people and older adults who were criminals started when they were young, and then there wasn't a record, but everyone knew it.
Well, we're only talking about reporting here, so we're not talking about expungement. If they are adjudicated, that's all that's still in place. So mm-hmm. I guess I don't know. For my purposes, I guess I would ask to remove Section 5 and see what the committee thinks about that. And see what you all think about that in terms of what we should move. I think until we get that sorted out, you really run into problems.
Madam Chair, I think I share Vern's concern that we don't want to lose the adult registration.
Well, I don't think you'd lose that. I just, nobody's here suggesting you lose the adult registration. I just am not sure that we are going to be due justice or equal justice here to try on this other piece.
Well, I think there's a strong need for uniformity, Madam Chair, and we would support that.
Great, okay. Okay, what do you think, committee?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Okay. It's permissive, it's made, but that's fine. Let's get the adults in anyway and get started.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
A couple of quick questions. Is there still a fiscal with this?
The registration, Madam Chair, Senator Springer, yes. $300,000 anticipated fiscal impact.
Does this mean it's going down to Ways and Means?
It doesn't have a subsequent referral at this point.
Well, I had to check with Senate President, so I suppose it is, depending on what that is. Yeah. We do have a piece of paper that says, when is it?
Madam Chair, if I may, I think on the House side, when the state police and Senator Springer, when the state police testified, they said there might be a fiscal impact.
It's not the state police who have an issue about this.
Okay. They said they'd absorb that.
I think, or is it Energy Defense?
Judicial Department.
Judicial Department.
Energy Defense.
It's possible maybe reworked. I'm sure fiscal, when they look at the amendments, will attempt to do that. But I guess, and if it's de minimis or if the President says okay, that's fine. I just raised the question because I'd seen one earlier. And
yeah, it does. It is there.
Second question, Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Springer.
Vern, I think you gave us some sort of anecdotal experience in terms of people who are coming back. Is this because of commission of new crimes or violation of the usual conditions of probation? Or my interest is, I'd like to know maybe 5 or 10 years down the road, you know, what are we getting for this? I mean, it feels good, right? Maybe it helps. Hopefully it helps. But is there any way to quantify that or evaluate
it? Madam Chair, Senator Springer, part of the reason that we've put the sunset on this bill is that we understood that we didn't know a lot about these offenders at the time we were drafting this. And we felt it would be that it is necessary for us to look at this periodically and to look at at what we gain from this experience. Currently, we're bringing sex offenders back if they go out into the community and they violate any condition that we think feeds into their sex offending behavior. For example, use of alcohol, use of drugs, failure to participate in a treatment program. Those are key things we look for. They violate those, they come back, or if they fail to report, because you have to have them under constant supervision. Now, we're going to track that. We're going to have more understanding of the offender and how they behave in the community 2 years from now than we have today.
Okay, that's a helpful response. I hope you have the resources and the means to accomplish that.
Well, what we're doing is tracking them now by use of our computer system at the board. And
thank you.
Good. Thanks. Okay, I think we have the bill.
Okay.
Do we, I'll ask you again about the Section 5.
Yeah. Oh.
Do we have any objections to section removal of Section 5 temporarily, knowing we're going to come back and visit this one again?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Hearing none, so ordered. Okay, we'll move the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Hanby moves House Bill 2407 as amended.
We wanted to leave all these offenses in.
Yeah.
To the floor unless we hear from President's office.
Okay, yes, to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Call the roll, please.
Senator Brockman, Senator Benn, Senator Hanby.
Aye.
Senator Shoemaker.
Aye.
Senator Springer.
Aye.
Vice Chair Hill. Chair Cohen.
Aye. Motion carried. And we'll check on the, we'll see whether it goes to Ways and Means. We'll be checking on that fiscal. We'll make a note on that. Okay, let's move then to House Bill 2542. Two left. Okay, Ingrid.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this bill was last before the committee on the 20th of May for public hearing. It separates the elements of existing sex abuse law, which is divided into two classes of offenses, into three classes. The offense now known as Sex Abuse 2, which is a Class B misdemeanor, would become Sex Abuse 3 and remain the same in terms of penalty and elements. Currently existing Sex Abuse 1 would be divided into two categories and would be redesignated as Sex Abuse 1 and 2, Class B and C felonies. In the new Class C felony, Sex Abuse 2, covered conduct would be subjecting a non-consenting victim to sexual intercourse, deviant sexual intercourse, or sexual penetration with a foreign object. Sex Abuse 1, under the new scheme, would be committed either by sexual contact with a victim under 14, or by means of forcible compulsion, or by intentionally causing sexual contact between a person under 18 and an animal. That is a new offense. It's not currently covered in the sex abuse statutes. And the language is not only causing, but allowing a person under 18 years of age to touch or contact an animal in a sexual fashion. That's dealt with in Section 3 of the bill. And the bill in Section 4 also places Sex Abuse 1 in Crime Category 9 of the Crime Seriousness Scale in sentencing guidelines. The two amendments address a couple of issues. Under existing law, it is a defense to the misdemeanor sex abuse offense that the victim was less than 4 years younger than the perpetrator and was more than 14 years old. No similar provision applies to sex abuse in the second degree as created by this measure, even though that defense is available for rape in the second and third degrees and for sodomy in the second and third degrees. So for the purpose of consistency, an amendment was prepared and included here that would apply that 3-year age difference defense to both Sex Abuse 3 under the new scheme and Sex Abuse 2. So it actually, with respect to Sex Abuse 3, change it from 4 to 3 years, but otherwise expand it and make it available to persons charged with both offenses.
Okay, come out. You want to come out first and say that that's, I think it's, well, it is a conforming kind of making the scheme consistent throughout. Well, okay, do you have a comment you want to share with us about that part?
Madam Chair, the failure of us to address that issue was simply an oversight, and we're very grateful to Ingrid for correcting that. We have no problem at all with that.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Next.
Madam Chair, you then have dash 3 amendments.
Okay. And we've deleted the, Section 4, which deals with the guidelines grid, and leaving that up to the guidelines board to deal with, since we have a general policy, except for one bill we're going to deal with, which we'll leave that up to them to sort of set the grids as they do in their normal course of events.
And I beg your pardon, there are a couple other amendments in the dash 2s, and they are technical.
I think that's fine, as long as there are technical amendments, they are not a problem. Okay, dash 3.
The dash 3 amendments, Madam Chair, would require that the Criminal Justice Council study and present to the 67th Legislative Assembly, the Governor, and the Chief Justice a report profiling sex offenders by offense and types of sentences. A lot of these offenses overlap, including sex abuse and various categories of rape and sodomy, and they would do a study of those offenses and the types of sentences which were imposed for each and the record of the offender. And the measure would also repeal the sunset of the Criminal Justice Council.
Okay, are there objections to either the A2 or the A3 amendments? Hearing none, so ordered. Okay.
Madam Chair, one further amendment which relates to a bill that was passed by the committee this afternoon, House Bill 2415 on sexual penetration, which now does not require that it be by a foreign object, and they would be conforming amendments, and it's if it's all right, in this bill I will simply add the language from 2415, which was adopted by the committee today.
Okay, are there objections to taking the conforming amendments from 2542? I think that's a conflict amendment that the Legislative Council would add, but we'll approve it ahead of time.
Under their new policy, they alert us to them in advance so that the committee can take action on either measure if it desires to do so. But if
okay, I would so move that conflict amendment to 2542 be inserted in
2415
will be the conflict amendment to 2415 would be inserted in 2542.
Also, for the record, Madam Chair,
yes,
Russ Spencer, Section 11 is also being added, which adds an emergency clause, which is great, but just so you know, it's there.
Right. Thank you. We do carry on with that. Okay. Are there objections to the conflict amendment, conforming amendment? Hearing none, it's ordered. Okay. It's ready to go.
Move the bill.
Senator Hanby moves House Bill 2542 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Call the roll, please.
Senator Brockman. Senator Bunn. Senator Hanby.
Aye.
Senator Shoemaker.
Aye.
Senator Springer.
Aye.
Vice Chair Hill. Chair Cohen.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. Okay, 2543.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this bill was before the committee on May 20th. It would expand the period of time that a person convicted of rape one, sodomy one, sexual penetration one or two, and sex abuse one would be required to serve on post-prison supervision so that it would amount to a total sentence of whatever period of incarceration up to the statutory maximum, and the balance that wasn't spent in custody would be spent on post-prison supervision. If the defendant were placed on probation, there would be a minimum 5-year probation period. Is that right?
I pulled the wrong bill. This one, so I can't. I don't have it in front of me. I believe that's correct, though.
The term of probation would be a minimum of 5 years and a maximum of the full statutory maximum sentence. So it would be minimum of 5 or up to 20 on a Class A felony for probationers. The committee had passed out Senate Bill 452 previously, which had some similar provisions and basically authorized the State Sentencing Guidelines Board to propose amendments to the guidelines providing for both longer presumptive sentences and longer supervision periods up to 20 years for Class A felonies, 10 for B, and 5 for Cs, and also required the Department of Corrections to provide supervision for sexual offenders. That bill had a $9 million fiscal impact. This one has a delayed impact. And basically, the impact would be only $177,000 in 10 years, but $1.75 million in 20 years.
Okay, we have an amendment. Oh, yes, A2.
Madam Chair, that merely affects the effective date. Under the bill as it is drafted, it would apply to anyone convicted after the effective date of the act, and in order to have it have strictly prospective effect, it should be persons convicted of offenses occurring after the effective date of that.
That, and that's the effective date amendments.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. Have objections to the A2 amendments?
Mm-mm.
Hearing none, so ordered. Okay, I think that's, is that the, it? That's the extent of this bill, right?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Move the bill.
Hanby moves House Bill 2543 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Money 10 years down the road.
With money 10 years down the road, right?
Yes.
Call the roll, please.
Senator Brockman. Senator Bunn. Senator Hamby.
Aye.
Senator Shoemaker.
Aye.
Senator Springer.
Aye.
Vice Chair Hill. Chair Cohen.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your help along the way.
Thank you.
We are adjourned until we're going to do a quick 1 o'clock tomorrow.